Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Death was arrested and has no power over us anymore. Our chains are falling off. Our chains are broken. Thank you, Father. You opened the prison doors and asked us to go. It doesn't matter what our minds tell us. It doesn't matter what Satan is saying. You made us free. By the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father. Of your word and of your truth this morning. Thank you for the word of faith. Thank you. Thank you for that you have released to us. Lord, we take possession of it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Since the house of Jacob shall possess what belongs to them. Lord, we possess that belongs to us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. This morning we put the enemy to flight. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We exalt you. We give you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, choir. You can now file and go. Praise God. I have 40 minutes to do the damage and escape the danger. Less than 40 minutes. Praise God. I appreciate everybody for coming to church today. I thank Pastor for this opportunity. Pastor Bello is not around, but we know his spirit is with us. Paul said somewhere that I behold your order. Praise God. We know that he's here with us in the spirit. I thank my friend Father Ogi for the checks and the balances. Amen. I look at it this way, that when it comes to handling this thing, is one of the most dangerous things to handle. You can destroy somebody's life with this thing, and you can make somebody's life with this thing. This same word of God. Hallelujah. You can make a man miserable from this same scripture. But Paul said that he says the authority I have is not for your destruction. It is for your building. And that's why we are careful. It's not as if we don't also want to go and share what we know. But it's not everything we know that came through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Some of the things we also come across when we study, we realize that it's simply academics. And immediately you try to string it, it's 1, 2, 3 scriptures, it's not gelling. Right there in your head, you just tear the paper, squeeze it, and throw it out. We are not preaching because we want your approval. Hallelujah. It's because we want you to be built. So anything that will further, you know, take you away from the path, we really don't want to touch it. And you must also understand that there is authority for this thing too. Hallelujah. Just the way you as a normal Christian can read the Bible and use it for your life, and the way a ministry gives, you also come and teach the same things you know, and it will look as if you don't know anything, because there's an anointing that is doing that work. Do you understand? That is the way it is, that this thing that you call Bible, you call it Bible. I don't know. The word Bible did not appear anywhere from Genesis to Revelation. Okay? Or did you see the word Bible anywhere? Sorry. The Bible appeared, the word Bible. It did not appear. But it's a compilation. Do you understand? This, you see it as Bible, just a book. There's authority needed to discharge some things inside the same book. And that's why there are certain things we won't talk about everywhere and every time and in every place. Paul said we speak mysteries among those who are what? Who are mature. This morning is still simple word of faith I want to bring this morning by the help of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It's simple, but if you don't know it, you can suffer. So, this morning I just woke up and I was thinking, and there was nothing was coming. I had things in my notes, but I wanted God to, you know, tell me exactly what. And Matthew 7:7 came to heart, and I had to go into it. This morning I just want to talk about one of those ingredients of effective praying. One of those, that there were many things Jesus talked about when it comes to praying. If you go and read from Matthew chapter 5, Jesus began to talk about how you should pray, how you should not pray. He said, when you pray, stay in your closet, talk to your Father. He that hears in secret will reward you openly. What other things? Say, don't repeat words like the heathen do, thinking that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And Jesus began to give a lot of principles in that place. And in Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to be linking some scriptures. Jesus began to talk about something again, one of those ingredients of prayer is that when you stand to pray, you should forgive. Because if you do not forgive your Father, you know, many things. So, but there's one I came to discover in Matthew chapter 7. 7:7, we all know the scriptures. I think we should all quote it without reading from our Bibles. Okay, I'll put it up. It's one of the most popular scriptures in verses in the scripture. It says, ask. Yeah, let's read together. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah. But you know, it's very easy to just go and pick Matthew 7:7 and start quoting. But I realized that that thing did not start from verse 8. It started from verse 1, which we are going to go back to. Jesus began talking about, do not what? Judge not that ye be not judged. Yes, verse 2. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. I remember then, the Pentecostals, give, it shall be given. That's the Luke version. I think in Luke chapter 9, I think. Is it Luke now or Luke 6? Good measure, shaking together. They are, Jesus was talking about judgment too. Yeah, you can relate it to anything, okay? But Jesus was actually, if you look at that place, he wasn't talking about offering or your giving. He was talking about how you mete out judgment, okay? That's in the Luke version of it. But let us go. Say, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider it not the beam? Do you know the meaning of mote? Mote is like speck. If you read some contemporary, that's why when you read KJV, please also read some contemporary. So you will understand. Mote, you will not understand. But when you read some contemporary, they will tell you speck. But that word beam, they say, some version even say timber. Log. Now you have log in your own eye, and then you are looking at the speck in your brother's eye. So how do you want to help your brother remove his speck when you have timber? You are a man of timber and caliber. Why do you stare from without at the very small particle that is in your brother's eye, but you not become aware of and consider the beam of timber that is in your own eye? I can imagine you carrying timber in your eye. KJV verse 4. Or how would thou say to thy brother, let me pull off the mote that is thy eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Verse 6. Now look at that transition. Many times we do not understand that even when Jesus taught, Jesus did some of his teachings prophetically. If you go and look at, sit down with that chapter after now, and look at that transition. He was talking about judgment, don't judge, don't do this and that. And then suddenly, he delves into this and says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Well, if you read, even people that divided our Bible into topics were confused at this point. If you have a topical Bible, when they got to this point, they gave it a heading. Check your Bible. They gave it a heading because it's difficult to marry the two thoughts. It was like he just suddenly delved out of one thought and entered another one. It says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pears before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and what? And rend you. Verse 7. And began to again. You have to say, ask, and it shall be given. Please, can you marry those three streams of thoughts, honestly speaking? It's still giving me a problem. I will only tell you what I think, what I feel. I know there's still a lot of work to do. Instead of saying, ask, and it shall be given you, seek, and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So it was like he was talking about one thing, and then delved into, don't cast your pears before swine. That looks to me like a prophetic kind of teaching, where you are talking about something and suddenly you see Isaiah begin to prophesy and begins to talk about the Prince of Tyre and begin to speak. And then when he is done, it's like when he has done talking in that realm, then he comes back again to this realm and starts like continues that stream of thoughts he was doing before. If you read John chapter 17, that was where Jesus was praying. Is it John 17? We were praying for disciples. You see a lot of that. happened there. Jesus was going in and out, going in and out of streams of thought, because these are things we must learn when we also interpret scripture. So you will know when a prophet is saying the same thing, but he's saying it on a different plane. Hallelujah. Okay, go down. He that asks, he that seeks finds, and all that. And then by the time he got to verse 12. Okay, he said, you wicked parents, because of time, you learn to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give you good things if you ask? When he now got to verse 12, he now said, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do, he now went back and connected back. I think this looks like what we read in verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. If it is about you judging your brother and all that. And then he goes on and says, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. Please, what does asking and receiving, what has it got to do with this? For this is the law and the prophets. So when I read this, I was tired. So I went to Luke to see. Luke separated. If you read Luke, let's check. That's why we're in church. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. From verse 37 to verse 41. Luke separated the two streams of thought. If you look at it, Luke 6 from verse 37, talked about the same thing, judging and all that. How can a blind lead the blind? Verse 41 talks about why, you know, worry about the motes in your brother's eye and all that, and stops at 42. That is, we see these thoughts like we saw in Matthew chapter, where we read. So now go to Luke chapter 11. You see the other parts in Luke chapter 11. He started from verse 5. If you take time to look at it, it was in this place he now talks about, in verse 9, he now talks about ask, you receive, and all. So you see that Luke plays the two thoughts on two different areas, but Matthew puts those thoughts together. Now, I know that these scriptures were written not because there was nothing to write. I hope we all agree with that. That the way they were written, they weren't written, we must pay attention to every arrangement and every detail as we can see. And that seems to suggest to me that there's something about asking and receiving and effective praying that has to do with how you relate with your brother. We will see, because James wrote something too, like this, in James chapter 4, which we are going to look at. I'm saying this because, like I said, it's just one of the ingredients. There are so many. So when people say, I have prayed, and the answer has not been coming, what is responsible? Some people say it is sin and generalize. But I think as much as we know that sin can be an impediment to prayer, it's not the only thing. The dynamics of praying and getting answers is as big as a degree program. Because you really cannot explain why somebody prays, he gets answer. Excuse me. Two guys, Cain and Abel, brought offering. One was accepted, the other was what? Was not. People say it's blood, because of blood and all that. I don't know if anybody taught the two of them. But I think Cain's problem was not that his offering was not accepted. The problem was that his heart was not right. Okay? Are we together? In fact, as a matter of fact, when you read somewhere in the New Testament, it said, He said Abel's offering was more accepted than Cain's offering. So if he had probably gone, left that place and gone to do the right thing and come back, maybe God would have accepted his own. But Abinisho, his heart was, he was angry about that. And how can you be angry because God did not accept your offering? Shouldn't you beg God and say, Baba, Kinemoshejo, and go back and do the right thing? Somebody was angry that God didn't accept his offering and that somebody's offering was accepted, and then because of that committed the first murder. So a lot of dynamics. So sin is not the only thing. Okay? Things happen. Hallelujah. But Jesus is saying here that you should judge. Judge not so that you will not be judged. Okay? Luke says, condemn not that you should not be condemned. I'm now interested in the fact that I began to talk about not casting your pearls before swine. You know what pearls are? Pearls are precious. Hallelujah. They are treasures. They are precious things. They are not wood. You know, Paul was writing, saying in the big house, there are instruments of to honor, there are some to dishonor. Hallelujah. You realize, I think that place Jesus was talking about, that was a scripture about God. Exactly. Because no human being, Jesus was comparing human beings. He said, if you people being evil, he called us evil. So if I am not born again, even if I love my child and I can give her the best education there is, give her private jets, give her anything just to make her comfortable, Jesus says that kind of human being, if it's not in Christ, that person is still what? Evil. Because you cannot understand love. Are we together? So he's not saying that. So I know he must not be talking about evil people here when he was saying don't cast your treasures or your pearls before swine, before dogs. Dogs and pigs are representative of entities that do not value holy things. Hallelujah. When they want to even abuse people in Yoruba land, girls that don't stay in one place, what do they call them? They call them dogs. So you now understand what James was writing when he was saying adulterers and what? Adulteresses. Not because they went about sleeping with somebody's wife and husband. We are still going to come there. Hallelujah. So if God is not going to cast his pears before swine and before dogs, you know, they were Gentiles. One woman was called a dog. You remember that woman? That woman from Sidon. The Syrophoenician woman. Jesus parabolically called her a dog. But the woman, thank God, was able to find her way. So he's not saying that you should ask. Listen, the people who he's referring to here are also people who, what makes you different from somebody out there in the world? You know, creation also gets, Psalmist told us that God opens his hands and he gives everything in nature what they desire. Okay, what they require. He provides their food. Jesus said, the birds of the air, they do not spin. They don't do all that. He said, but your heavenly Father, what? Feeds them. That is the best they can get. Hello? That is what? The best they can get. There are certain things that God will not give to the birds of the air. Hallelujah. There are certain things that he will not give to the flower of the field. You know why? They are just going to perish. And this is a matter of identity right now. There are certain things that are available to everybody. He says he causes his sun and his rain to fall upon both the righteous and the unrighteous. So those ones have been set in motion. You don't need to pray. Nobody here prays that Oluwa, let sun rise. Who prays that? I think you don't have work to do. If you are praying that God, let the sun rise. I know that people pray that rain should fall. I lie in Australia now. They are trying, they are really praying that rain can just fall so it can help them with those fires. But Jesus went further to now say, after he talked about this, he now said you should ask. In other words, our relating with God in the place of prayer and asking and receiving is a deliberate thing. God does not release things, valuable things, to people who don't ask. That's what I'm trying to get to. He does not release anything valuable to people who don't what? Or people who ask and are not deliberate about their asking. Are we together? James was writing about some people. He said, you people are fighting, you do this, you quarrel, you do... He said, and all these things you don't get. Why? Because you don't what? Ask. So I really need you to ask yourself, am I really asking? You know, everybody asks. Even the Baba Bambiala out there is also asking God to bless him. If that is the realm of asking that you and I are, we are all men most miserable. Because God will not cast his spells on people who will not. He says ask. He can give without asking. Hallelujah. God can give without any one of us what? And actually he gives some things without what? Asking. But he's taking it a step further by saying that we will not cast our pears before swine. That means this swine, don't think of it too far away. Don't think I am no longer a dog. I am not a swine. Sure, you remember, was it Peter that wrote about the dog has gone back to his vomit? So you can actually be in church and you still have that configuration. Hallelujah. Even if you take a pig and wash it and do all that and all that, what will happen to it? It will go back because it is a configuration. Where we read this morning talks about circumcision, not made with hands, that flesh of sin, might be taken away. We have people in church who are like that. So don't think of it too far away. And don't even look at this dog and pig thing like it is, you can, if you are not careful, you can find yourself in that condition. A man that does not approach God with a level of deliberation and that can find himself in that shoes, because nothing valuable will be released to you. That's why many of us pray and pray. You say, I have prayed, nothing is coming. Excuse me. You have not asked. If you ask, you will receive. I'm not just talking to you alone, I'm talking to myself too. All the promises of God in Christ Jesus, they are yea and amen. I saw a man of God preach a message. I've not listened to it. He said the myth called unanswered prayer. There is no prayer that is meant to be unanswered. There should not be anything called unanswered prayer. There shouldn't be. So if you read 1 John chapter 5, the ending part where it talked about unto him, no, that's not unto him. It says, help me look for it. 1 John chapter 5 that talks about, we know that if we ask anything according to his will, 5:14, and we are confident that he will listen to us whenever we ask him. Okay, let's read KJV together. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he does. It did not end here. Go to 15. And if we know that he hears us, because some of us end it there. He says, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions. I think it was Paul that was saying that there are many answers to prayers that are hanging. They are hanging. So when he says you should ask, ask is a simple level. Maybe I'm asking. Jesus didn't stop there. He said you should seek. Seeking is a deeper exercise of yourself than what? Than me asking. How do I know that? I know that when you look at the parables of Jesus, it talks about a man that was seeking a costly pearl. Seeking requires even asking is deliberate. Some things God will not release to us until we come and ask. It's just a way He has decided to do it. Don't ask me what is the biblical. Jesus is the one saying this, not even Paul. That is the way it operates. And that's why to a degree, not even to a degree, we are supposed to be deliberate about our approaching God. Hallelujah. This is just one small part I'm talking about. The other part, I don't know if I will have time, but if God permits me to come back, we'll do more about it. Then you should ask, you should seek, and you should knock. Excuse me, when you knock a door, I know that the third law of Newton says that actions and reactions, every action gets an equal, you could not do physics. When you knock, you know that something is coming out of you. Hallelujah. When you knock, you are producing sound. Remember that Luke 11, that man that went to his neighbor at night. I went to knock his door. I have guests, so I don't have food to give them. Can I get how many loaves of bread? He even call it, is it two or three? Jesus said that that man will answer him and say, see, I'm already in bed with my family. He said, but even if the man will not give him because he's already in bed with his family. He said, but for the man's, that is not mere asking. Hallelujah. That is not mere what. Have you had people who ask you for things and they will almost disturb your life with call? Hello? With call, they will disturb you. Do you have people like that around you? When you have promised them a favor, they want something from you, they will start calling you. And you are wondering, what's wrong with this person? This person will not even allow somebody. You are the one feeling like that. But what the person is doing is scriptural. You call it disturbance. Jesus says, that is the way it works in the kingdom. Yoruba say the Ishute Yaman Tenumo Kukin Jono. That one is not in the Bible. Hallelujah. It's the way I want to go. It's the way it works. Alright? It means we have to be willing to go the extra mile. This year, my desire is that in my life, there will be nothing like unanswered prayers. There will be nothing like that. I don't want to know it. I don't want to know it. Well, what people call unanswered prayer is actually some answers are timed. Hallelujah. Some answers are what? They are timed. And in the appointed time, they will what? They will show. Amen. But there are things right now that are in the immediate that we need to go begin to see. It's a discipline of the Spirit. It's a discipline where we need to begin to, talk about those things. The other part I would have talked about is that part that Jesus, by the time he was going to end this whole story, now said you should do unto others as you have them do unto you. I really, really think there's something that is tied to how you handle. Some of us don't know how to handle issues. When they bring matters to our table, we don't even know how to listen to the other side. Jesus is saying, be very, very careful. By way of rounding up, let's look at James. Oga Solomon told us that some people, they are fools. He say a fool's back, how did he put it? He say a fool's back is made for the rod or something. No matter how you beat them, it doesn't, okay? But he still now said that there are some people that they even have more hope than fool. So a fool has more hope than them. Two of them. Say one that is wise in his own conceit. The second one is one that is hasty with words. He said, for those two sets of people, he said, there is more hope
for it than them.
James chapter 4. Say, what is causing, okay, whence comes wars and fightings among you, come they not hence, even of your loss. If you read this chapter, actually, you say that this chapter has to do with you also interfacing with God and how you get things done. It says in verse 2, it says, you lost, you have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. This is one who is trying to scheme and do things by himself. Some of us are very wise. We are wiser than Jesus. We can run our show by ourselves. We can sabi day, praise God. We don't read book. Some of us have PhD. Some of us are trying to get PhD. As if it's by PhD. Say ye ask and receive not, because so those that are even asking, it says they are asking, they don't receive, because they ask amiss that they may consume it upon their loss. Let's go on. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Can you juxtapose this with that place we read where he said, don't cast your pearls before what? Before swine. It means that if you are in those two categories, you can scheme, you believe you can do it by yourself, you have what it takes, you have the wherewithal, you are wise in your own conceit, one, and you also ask, when you ask, your motives are also what? Are also wrong. God will not cast his pearls before you. Because he knows that you will trample, you won't just trample alone, you will now come back. I had a colleague like that. After, you know, there are people like that, you help them. After you have helped them, they will turn back at you and say, what exactly, sir, did you do? What's the big deal? Is it ordinary marking? What's the big deal? And you are shouting. You feel like killing yourself. Because the person rubbished you. Praise God. So ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Verse 5, quickly. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. 8. Draw nigh to God. Now this, if you look at this and compare to Matthew 7, you begin to see a similarity. This man begins to talk about how you can approach God. You remember how he started? He said, where is all this fighting and all these things coming from you? He said, you people are busy struggling and fighting among yourselves, and then some lust. You know, if you look at those things, there can be lust among us that is originating from the lust within all of us. Praise God. If I have lust, and other people also have lust, eventually you will find that thing expressing itself among us. He's saying, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Verse 9. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and you shall what? Verse 11. Speak not evil of one another. If you go back to Matthew 7, you will realize this is the same thing Jesus was talking about. That you should not judge. Okay? Let's spell it. Because I've met people, I decided to tell them the truth, and the next thing they do to silence you is that, you are now judging me. Solubi, you are now, I have a student like that. Same Solubi, you are judging me, Abi, you are judging me. And some of you, once they tell you that you are judging them like that, they just demobilize you. That's not what scripture is saying. Because if Jesus is saying, don't talk about anything bad that anybody is doing, it means that I have the right to do as I please. And you also have what? The right to do as you what? As you please. So nobody is going to be the judge. Sure, do anything you do. It's fine. Like one guy was asking Ravi Zacharias that, why are we all afraid of allowing people to do
Why are we trying to cage them with one Bible? Why we don't allow people? Why are we afraid that people should be free to express themselves? Ravi answered and said, he said, if I take a gun and I carry a gun and put on your head and shoot, poah. Say, is that not right? If there are no laws guiding us, I can as well just come and carry a gun and put on head and shoot. Poof. Nobody will catch me and arrest me. Say, but that does not, if that happens to society, you say the guy has committed an offense. So somewhere, somehow, we cannot do without laws. He says, speak not evil of one another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother. So understand the concept of judging. It's about speaking evil about your what? Brother. Or slander. What does it mean to slander? You speak something about somebody that is not necessarily true. Some of us, you hear about even ordinary Sotito Bire. You hear. Fine, we know that the guy is not pure. But you just hear from afar. Well, he's not your brother anyway. He's not your brother. Let's talk about people that are your brother. You hear something about somebody, and rather than you take time to... These are the things that impede our prayers. And we don't know. Rather than you take it easy and try to even know the thing on the other side, you don't wait. You just start. That is one way of speaking evil about your brother. Okay? He says, if you speak evil of the law, you are judging the law, but if you judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. When you speak evil about your brother, and you judge him, another way of judging your brother is when you do judgments without mercy. Hallelujah. When you do judgments without what? Mercy. Paul was writing that if you find a man in a fault, he said you should. Those of you are saying you should restore him. In the spirit of meekness, you should also consider yourself. Don't wait until you fall into the same thing before you know. You know, there are certain things now that, for example, people who fornicated very, very well, and God is now helping you. So when you see somebody who is a fornicator today, naturally, spiritually, there should be a way you should feel for that person. You have been through it. And even when you have not been through it, you should also learn to be a little... be gentle. Whatever you are doing, even when the onus is on you to be the judge of a matter or to make something in a matter, you should be doing it from the standpoint of mercy. I'm talking about a sincere brother. Praise God. Are you hearing me? There are some people that are not, they are not brothers. So such people, you meet them everywhere out there. They are the ones that will ask you, are you now judging? If anybody that is asking, are you judging me, you should know the person is not even ready for anything. I'm talking about those things. So when Jesus was now saying that you should not judge, you should not, and then he delves into asking and seeking and all that, and by the time he is done, he goes back and says, whatever you want people to do to you is what you should do to them. I think it is one of the important ingredients of prayer. You cannot be cheating others in any way, and expect that God is a God of justice, and he that must come to justice, as the day used to say it, that will come to equity must come with clean hands. He says, who will ascend to the hill of God? He says, he that has what? Clean hands. So how do we handle ourselves? If I have destroyed you with my mouth, if I go to God in prayer, it can stand against me. That place says that if we use the authority that we have to fight each other. Hallelujah. And my pastor used to tell us that if I quote that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And you are also quoting the same thing. And we are firing arrow at each other. And every tongue that opposes me in judgment shall be condemned. And I'm condemning you. You are condemning me. What will happen to two of us? I think it just take time. I just came across this, and I'm still trying. I'm trying to also study deeply. that in the place of prayer, we must, if we are really praying people, people we ask, people who we seek, people who we knock, we must be a people who understand relating with the brethren. It's a very, very far. One place Paul was writing to them, he said you should not defraud your brother in this. Some brothers were scamming the other brothers with their wives. Praise God. It's inside this Bible. So you should know that we are not the baddest people that ever lived. Some people were badder than us. But the word of God was able to help them. Some people were scamming. Probably scamming another brother, you know, as concerning their wife. And why are you coveting your brother's property? So when we pray, this year we are going to be doing a lot of praying, we are going to be doing a lot of fasting, we are going to be doing all of that. When you do that, it's not just enough that you are opening your mouth and you are shouting to heaven. Many of us are talking and shouting, and God is just that thing. Something is in the way. Unforgiveness, we must let it go. Hallelujah. Praying so that people will see you, or fasting so that I can come here and declare to you that I've been fasting for the past 90 days. That's not the reason why I did what I did. I did it for myself. Many times we fast here. We don't have to come and tell you that I've been fasting. Sometimes when I even tell you I've been praying for you, it's because I feel that some people need that encouragement. When they hear that you are praying for them, there's a way it helps them. But it's not to come and tell people I'm praying for you so that they can know that you are the, you know, and all that. I think we should be careful how we judge. We should be careful not to condemn. To condemn means to say nothing good can come out of this situation. To render utterly useless and all that. We must be careful how that happens between us and how we settle matters. When issues happen, please, let us learn to handle it. Let us learn to sort out these things among ourselves, little bit, so that our prayers are not going to be hindered. Some of us are yet to submit well to authority. Please, that's one way to, one thing we need to. Let us be under submission. Let us be under covering. These are things that God respects. When he says he gives grace to the humble, he says the proud. I like the way Yoruba put it. Onion wagberaga lato kiriri, as in God, they look on from far. He can't come close. What is that grace is given to the humble? It means that the humble can come close. That's grace. That's grace. But God will not allow a proud man come. And I don't know how you want to project your voice so that God can hear. I don't know how you want to do it from a distance. You can't. Let us be submissive. You can't appear in the realm of the spirit and they are seeing a rebellious person. It's dangerous. Hallelujah. As you are just praying, you know, there are times you are praying in tongues and you know that your tongue just changed. You just find yourself, you know, talking, and then you are praying in the realm of the spirit and the angel is looking at you, and yet you are. You remember Joshua the high priest? Satan will have something against you. So let us understand this basic truth. And let us understand how we can relate with ourselves and each other. I pray this year we will prosper in the place of prayer. We'll lift up our voice to heaven and God will hear us. In the day of trouble, when we lift up our voice, God will hear us. We are not only going to pray in the days of trouble, we are going to pray anytime, at any time, see, we are going to pray. Not only in the days of trouble alone, anytime we lift up our voice to heaven, heaven will recognize our voice. In the name of Jesus. There will be answers in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word that has come forth. Help us to consider this area of our lives. Help us to practically walk in the place of answered prayer. It is your will that we get answers to every request that we make. It is your will that we come before you and then we are partakers of the grace of having you respond to us. Lord, we are grateful to you for giving this opportunity, and we thank you, Father. We exalt you. We pray for every sick person, everybody that is sick here, everybody that came here with one weakness or the other, because of the word of God that has come forth, let strength return to your body in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. There's somebody here, you are seriously in need of finance. You are seriously in need. I'm in need too. Everybody needs finance or something, but you have a very, very pressing need. As a matter of fact, this morning when you woke up, it was the most paramount thing on your heart. You woke up with that burden this morning. I pray for you that a way is made for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord will come through for you. Before sunset today, there will be a miracle. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We exalt you, Lord. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.